Hey, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to Big Dumb Monsters. I'm Chris.
I'm Nick.
And this is week two of Jantuary.
Fuck yeah.
Our entire month dedicated to sequels.
We're so dumb.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest idea.
That's all we've got is gimmicks, folks. That's all we've got. But today we are talking another awesome movie. 2 weeks in a row with awesome, awesome movies.
Oh, yeah.
Today we're talking Evil Dead 2.
Dead by Dawn. Dead by Dawn.
Blows my mind. This movie's from 1987. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that old, but.
No, yeah. It doesn't.
But yeah, we obviously love this fucking movie.
I think nobody has to even, like, listen to our review to know that we're going to love this movie. you just have to know us as people.
Yeah. You can hear Donner screaming in the background. He did not join us in studio, so you don't hear him barking in studio for once.
You might hear fireworks. I'll try to cut that out.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, I hope you enjoy listening to us yammer on about Evil Dead 2 here on Big Dumb Monsters.
Enjoy the show. The air itself is filled with monsters.
We are now recording. Sick.
You like having that monitor over there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys don't have to see the other stuff I need to do that I try not to distract you with.
Excellent.
Sweet. We are our ever, non-ending quest to upgrade the studio. We got a new monitor. We're now up to 5 total monitors in the studio.
It's absurd.
It's awesome.
Pretty soon we're going to have like one of those walls from like the government facilities. It's just fucking monitors.
If my job ever closes down one of the cube walls, I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah. We fucking need that.
Yeah. But what's going on, everybody? It is Saturday night.
Another Saturday.
Hell yeah. We are back on schedule. We watched, it's Jantuary.
It is the second week of Jantuary.
Yeah, yeah. Jantuary 2, Jantuary Harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
No.
And we are talking another fucking banger of a fucking movie.
This is like the ultimate sequel.
Yes.
Because it changes so much.
Well,
such of like the same cloth.
Yeah.
But.
That's 2 weeks in a row we've done like ultimate sequels to something. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week, we're not going to be as lucky next week.
No. Yeah. I bet not. Well, I mean. Could it be worse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, good.
What was our last entry for Jantuary?
What?
Did we pick a fourth entry? We have next week.
We did because it jumps into February. I can look real quick. Hold on.
I was already pulling it up.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. Producer man producing.
Creepshow 2?
That's right.
Yeah, we're leaving on a bang.
Yeah. Okay. So we have... Week 3 of January is going to take a little dip in quality.
All week.
But we'll have a guest here joining us, tentatively anyway. But tonight, we're talking Evil Dead 2.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Dead by Dawn, babe.
Yeah.
The much forgotten subtitle.
Yeah, that is true. I have like a real problem differentiating the first movie and this movie.
They're very similar.
Yeah, it's like it's a sequel, but also kind of a redo, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
But also somebody pointed out, like, you know, knowing what we know about Ash now after all this, like, it's not beyond him to go back to the same place where something horrible happened, like, to him. Like, he's that dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is, because, like, I like to think of it as like an alternate universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it wouldn't make sense for him to go back, listen to this almost same recording, and then experience the same shit over again.
Yeah,
because, like, he doesn't present any previous knowledge. It's all like fresh.
And even like I was thinking about like the series, it kind of cherry picks from both of the first two movies. I think it just treats them as one movie.
Yeah.
Because you have the storyline with like Ash's family and like Ash's sister, but also it has the slapsticky quality. It takes Ash's personality from this movie and then like the story from the first movie, basically.
Yeah. I liked when I was watching this, I was thinking this is almost as if it's almost as if the first movie happened and then this is like a psychological breakdown that he's having after the events of the first movie.
Yeah.
So like this is all in his head. But it gets to a point where you're like, it's probably not, but it fucking could be.
Yeah.
Because that also leads into Army of Darkness, which is just way out there. So it could be further mental illness. And then you pick up in the show later and supposedly all that happened. But did all that happen or was he just a fucking crazy dude in the woods?
Which is also kind of like a recurring theme of the show too. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Man, this movie is so fun. It's like it almost borders on too much comedy. Almost.
Yeah, I because think they're walking the line like right down the middle.
Because the horror is so intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God. So there was something that happened today. Like it's the first time I ever noticed it. I don't know why this popped in my head right now. When he's in the basement for the second time and he's walking around and he finds like a skeleton, I always just passed it off as like, oh, it's probably like the dead mother or like it's just, you know, a dead body that was there.
It's the dad.
Right? No, it's the guy that got pulled into the fucking trap door and his body is just fucking ripped clean of all the fucking flesh. Oh. Because he's wearing the same overalls. I never noticed that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
God damn. I like this movie just gets right going, too. We're
like 5 minutes in, and he's already killed somebody.
Six minutes and 42 seconds in. Linda's dead. Like, shit's already going crazy.
Actually, kind of one of the things I don't like about it.
Really?
Yeah. And there's not many things I don't like about this movie because it's fucking great. But I think it starts like too fast. Like it just like you hit the ground running with this. And that probably presents because you've already seen the slow build up from the first movie. So they wanted a faster movie. I think it's just a little too fast because you don't really get to like catch your breath and see what's happening. It's just. Bang, shit's happening. Bang, shit's happening. Bang, shit's happening.
There's also a couple of things I noticed where you wouldn't have picked up on like an added element to a scene if you hadn't seen the first movie. Like when Ash is getting dragged to the cellar when he gets knocked out after all the other people show up, like there's a fucking sense of like you see dread on his face, like not the fucking cellar.
Yeah.
Like he knows it's bad down there.
Yeah.
So like, again, that's referencing the first movie.
Right.
When he's in the shed later on and he knows exactly where the chainsaw is, but he opens it up and it's just the outline of the chainsaw. Like,
yeah.
Because he moved it in the first movie. Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's just really confusing from the point of like, what is this really supposed to be? If it was a lot clearer or defined, then I would rate this movie higher. I love it. I'm never going to say I don't like this movie. Like it's so fun and so gross. And I guess Evil Dead was like, kind of a suspenseful, supernatural thriller of a horror movie, right? Like there's a lot of tone, a lot of like menace to everything. This is more like a gross out movie. This is they like just horror, like flip the switch.
Like horror Three Stooges kind of like.
Yeah, it's 100% Three Stooges. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, he even does Three Stooges bits in this.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, there's like 10 people credited as fake Shemps.
Yeah.
On the IMDb credits. One thing I'm going to ding this on, like story wise, is they never explain why Ash is the only person who like survives a deadite possession. Like, why doesn't he give anybody else that chance to survive?
It's daylight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they.
But no, he gets taken over again later in the movie and it's nighttime.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So there's no like consistency to it. He just remembers Linda, and like that's what kind of pulls him out of it.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe nobody else had that like emotional impact.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one happens because, you know, it's daylight hits and the deadite spirit can't be out in the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Man, some of the special effects in this were so good. Like, so good.
Particularly, I love the end of this movie. Just that giant fucking thing coming in the door.
Oh, yeah.
The giant tree hand coming in the window.
Yeah, it really gets intense. And a lot of people forget, like, how fucking crazy it is.
The comedy stops. Yeah, like, the ending is really intense.
Yeah, because this one is known as, like, the halfway point between Evil Dead. Obviously, it is because it's the second movie. But in tone and theme, it's the halfway point between this between Evil Dead 1 and Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the first one, little to no comedy. Like, the only comedy is, like, people talking to people, regular guy comedy.
Yeah.
And then you get this one, which has got a lot of that slapstick element. And then you get to Army of Darkness, and it's just fucking full ham almost the entire way through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he becomes the one-liner machine. He's just the coolest dude. He's super smart for no fucking reason, you know.
And here you only get like two Duke Nukem lines. You get Groovy.
Yeah.
And, what's the other one?
Come on, you can do it.
It's when he sees, what's her name at the end? The Harriet, I think her name.
Uh-huh. I believe it's a Let's Go.
That's it. Yeah. 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 Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that Delta 88. Just. the only reason I would want one is because of this movie. Well, in the first movie, I don't even think Dark Man.
They make Oldsmobiles anymore, do they?
No.
No, yeah, yeah. First car I ever drove was an Oldsmobile.
Was it?
It's an Oldsmobile 1977 Cutlass station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a tank.
Real boxy.
It wasn't my car. It was my friend's car. The first car I ever, like, physically drove.
Yeah.
Not, like, owned.
One of those real boxy son of a bitches?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it had
the
wood panels?
No, it was all silver. It was just a giant silver bullet. Like, yeah.
Sick. Oh, man. Yeah. The one thing I really don't appreciate is just the amount of Raimi-isms it's just chock full.
Yeah.
You know, like, how much reverse acting can we see? How much, like, for real, like, I get it. Like, he's kind of built that to be his thing.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, man. Like,
yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah, like, he falls into the category for me, like, of fucking what's his name? The guy who makes the same movie again and again and again. Cutesy fucking twee.
Oh, Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that style that's just like whatever movie he does,
it's his. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he just cannot get out of it. And I think, whereas, like, you know, Sam Raimi hasn't worn out his welcome with that style yet. Like,
well, that's because he doesn't put out a movie every 2 years.
Yeah, but he also steps out of it every now and again. You'll get like a Simple Plan or a Quick and the Dead, where it's not like a, you know, a goofy kind of like comedy to it.
Yeah.
You know, I forget where the fuck I was going with that. Oh, Wes Anderson, where I was like, that's just the same.
It's fucking the only movie he makes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, cutesy fucking.
And sometimes I want that.
Yeah.
For real.
Like, I didn't make it through, I think, 30 minutes of Asteroid City.
No.
I just, I'm good.
I'm shocked that you would even go back for any more Wes Anderson. You're so over it.
Yeah. I was just like, I want to watch a movie. Like, you know what? Like, let me give it a shot.
It's
like,
something you don't have to think about for sure.
Yeah. And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There's two ways I look at this movie, and there's my critical eye, which was I was trying to kind of watch with today.
There's
what?
There's a censored message.
No. Deleted that.
Oh, it's the spam one. God damn it.
Don't pay attention to that.
God damn it.
I do the chat. You don't worry about it. I'll let you know.
All right.
DAM. I can't remember who that is.
Dave.
Dave dropped in the lurk. That's it. Nice
there. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, there are definitely two ways to watch this, and you watch it with your brain, and you watch it with your heart. 9 times out of 10, I watch this with my heart.
Yeah.
I watch it with my brain and I start picking things apart and then I don't like it. It's not that I don't like the movie. I don't like myself anymore because I'm trying to pick apart Evil Dead 2. And you don't do that. You just accept it
you just
for the joy that it is.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is there to point out about this? I mean, it's just, it's fucking
there are
awesome.
Ancillary characters that you don't give a fuck about.
Yeah.
Like everybody other than Ash.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah, pretty much.
They show up. They're there.
Well, the professor's daughter, at least, like, you know, has some kind
of significance. Yeah, she's the second most significant character in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And here you are not even being able to remember her name.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Notice I said professor's daughter.
Right. And then her husband or boyfriend, whoever the fuck that guy is, her simp. Like, he's, as soon as he gets in the cabin, I think he's possessed, what, 4 or 5 minutes later?
Yeah.
It's just, they don't matter.
Like, that's the other thing that bugs me. There is no rule, like, to possession. Like, is it contact?
Not in this.
Yeah.
Like, in the other one, it seemed like you had to be coming into contact with these things. Like, in this one, they're just, boom, possessed. Yeah. Now you're a deadite.
Yeah.
Which I don't dig it.
Yeah, I could use a little consistency there.
Yeah.
There are a couple scenes, too, when he's, like, running through the cabin where you can see above the scenery. Just pointing that out, like, as a critic.
Yeah. Well, I think they film most of this in a gym in school.
Yeah.
God damn. Sorry. We're watching the movie now.
Yeah, we're just lost in the movie. That's why I turned the football game off, too, because I was, like, watching that.
Were you?
It's
just the Dolphins. It's just the Chiefs.
It's going to be a good game.
Or you watch it for the Taylor Swift, don't you?
Tay-Tay, baby, all the way.
T-Swizzle. I didn't take you for a Swiftie.
I'm in my Taylor Swift era, as the kids say now. What else is there to say? I feel like we haven't been talking about this in a long time.
We haven't. And I want to talk about it some more. I
feel like we're falling into the trap of, like, this is just an awesome movie.
It is just a fucking awesome movie. Fuck all that. It's Evil Dead 2. Are we really going to sit here and try to critique Evil Dead 2?
But we can point out specifics, you know?
We can.
Like, yeah.
And we have. This is right before you get to the Ash doesn't ever have to reload phase of his life.
Yeah.
Because that was more of an Army of Darkness thing. There are people shooting off fireworks right now.
Yeah. But fireworks. That is fireworks.
That's fireworks. You don't live in that kind of neighborhood.
No, there is a gun club like a half a mile away.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, fuck them. Yeah, you see him reload in this one. That's refreshing. As fun as this one is, it's probably my least watched of them.
I think the first one is still my least watched out of all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Army of Darkness is for sure the number one.
It was just always on for a while, like on Comedy Central.
Yeah, it was on every day at Comedy
sci-fi,
Central.
Sci-fi, yeah.
I got to tell you, though, man, this scene, when I first saw this scene where Linda comes back from the dead, this is Linda, right?
Yeah.
When she comes back from the dead, is dancing around in the dark, that fucked me up as a kid.
It is pretty gnarly.
Yeah. I saw this I was in 7th grade, 6th or 7th grade.
Oh, damn. I was in college when I saw this for the first time.
Yeah, my dad showed it to me.
Hey, same.
Yeah.
It was like a family movie night.
Yeah. No, my dad rented this, and he put it on. He goes, this is going to scare the shit out of you. I'm like, okay.
All right, yeah.
Sweet. Let's go. And while it did not, I fucking loved it. Yeah, but that dancing scene in the woods is iconic. And also iconic, I don't know if this is the same for you guys, but when he gets bit in the hand and you see the black cracking go across it.
Yeah.
That stuck with me forever. Like, I thought it was the coolest looking shit.
Yeah.
Oh, this scene is what I think kind of promotes the, it's just him going crazy because all that shit is happening. And then it just jump cuts to him sitting in a chair screaming.
Yes. Right? Yeah, there's a couple of things like that where, like, yeah, like, it'll just jump and, like, he's just doing something different.
Yeah.
The other scene, too, that I really love this scene, too, but it also is, like, in the camp of Ash is going crazy. When shit just starts coming to life in the cabin, like the deer head, like,
yeah,
I fucking love that deer when it just,
whoosh, yeah,
just like whips its head around at him, like,
and it's got the white eyes,
yeah, and everything's just kind of moving. And he's just sitting there, like, he's laughing at first, like, you know, just out of like insanity, fucking, yeah, yeah.
Look, you're watching him go crazy,
yeah, and then he just starts screaming, yeah,
this movie, it's far from perfect, but oh my god.
Yeah,
I just love it so much.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is there about this movie? Like, I don't like the fact that they make him like a mechanical fucking genius.
Yeah.
Like, it's unnecessary, I think.
Yeah, like, it even gets kind of ridiculous, like, later on. Like, well, I work in the electronics department at S-Mart. That's how I know all this. Like,
yeah, that's how you know to mechanically take apart a chainsaw, yeah, and put a giant hole in it where the motor should be.
I have a textbook in my trunk.
Yeah.
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 So I can, yeah, make shotgun ammo and
fucking... It's, like, too much. It's too much. But it's fun, I guess. It, like, it adds to the... It adds to the ridiculous that you come to these movies for. Like, not the first one. But two, an Army of Darkness, you don't go into those wanting just a serious, crazy horror movie.
Yeah.
You want the goofy, you want the splatter, you want, like, you want a couple of laughs in your, like, ugh. And it gives it to you. Like,
I like that also. Let me think about this. That when you look at the franchise as a whole...
It gets more and more ridiculous as it goes on.
Well, no, not well. Yes and no, because like think about Evil Dead Rise, where like it doesn't have nearly the amount of comedy. Like
you have
Evil Dead 1, you have the remake, and then you have Evil Dead Rise, which are like the really like gnarly like
yeah.
serious horror, and then you have like Evil Dead 2, you have Army of Darkness, and you have the series, which are like more of the comedic aspects. So it can go like. Either way, with any of the films you pick in the franchise.
As much as I like, I will straight up say I love the remake of Evil Dead. And I liked Evil Dead Rise. I just never think of them when I think the Evil Dead movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not to their detriment. It's just the first three are so fucking iconic. It's really hard to be like, oh yeah, these two. Oh, Jesus Christ. That, yeah, with that... 2013 remake is so good.
Yeah. Oh, man. I do love this movie. The first time I ever saw it was with the Spectrum fucking in Albany.
Really?
Yeah.
Goddamn. When did movie theaters stop being fucking rad?
It was in like the mid-2000s to like 2010s, like around there when they stopped like showing midnight movies and like
yeah.
stopped rerunning old movies. Like,
yeah,
fucking, I think it's just because like
the I really think it's the franchise theaters that took over and
it's a combination, kind
of spoiled it.
It's that and also studios figuring out like, oh, we can make money on like renting these old movies to people. Let's charge more for them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they offer them out less. But yeah, I mean, like that used to be like a thing every week, man. We just go to the fucking midnight movie
yeah.
at either the Madison or the Spectrum.
Yeah.
There was, you know, two options. And it was always like crazy, like either like awesome, like 70s movies, like Dog Day Afternoon. I saw, I think for the first time in a midnight movie.
That's a heavy one for a midnight movie.
Yeah. I know I saw Jaws at one once. Why am I blanking? Cause it's been like 30 years.
Yeah, probably.
fucking
because you're old and your brain don't work no more.
But yeah. I saw like Evil Dead 1. I saw Evil Dead 2. I've, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead. You'd see at those. Like,
yeah.
I miss that shit so much.
I really want the drive-ins around here to start doing like some retro shit. And every once in a while they will.
Yeah. They do it on Halloween, I noticed, but that's about it.
Like, yeah, come on, man. Like, give me a once a month, give me a weird fucking grindhouse movie. Like, it's I don't think it would really be like a detriment to their fucking Figures.
Yeah, no. Make it like a whole fucking like double feature, like a whole night of it, you know?
Yeah. It'd be rad. Like that would give people something to look forward to and I think bring more business to the drive-ins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And shit, we've got three of them around here.
More than that, I think.
Well, no.
Because there's one in Malta. There's
we get the Malta. There's Malta drive-in, the Jericho drive-in, and the Hollywood drive-in.
Then there's also, there's another one too, I think. I forget the name of it, but there's ones in like Massachusetts too that aren't far off.
Well, I meant like ones that are like a 20-minute drive from here.
The Massachusetts ones are like 30, 40 minutes. Like it's not that far away.
Oh, really?
Ooh, pardon me.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. The Glen Twin, is that the one that's not that far from here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never been.
What else? What else? I think we can get to the ratings now. We've been talking about this for a while.
Okay.
I'll go first on this one. This one for sure. Me, like, I think I don't have as much of a nostalgia like for it because I did see it when I was older. Like I said, I was in college when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I do love this movie though. I think this out of the Evil Dead franchise, like I think this is it for me. Like this is my favorite out of it.
You love the ratio,
yeah,
of horror, just
the perfect blend of comedy and horror.
Yep.
I'm gonna go 8.5, I think, on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's respectable.
Yeah. Because this is just a good, like, this is like the movie you show to somebody who's like, I am not into horror. Like, I want to watch a horror movie. Like, what should we watch?
Yeah.
Bingo. Like, yeah.
Fair. That's fair.
I mean, you've seen it a million times. It's still an awesome party movie. Like, if you're having like a, you know,
shit, yeah.
You know, a horror party, like a Halloween party or something.
Well, that's the thing. I think this one makes a much better party movie than the first one because the first one has a lot of like low horror points where it's just like kind of dread.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work so good at a party. This one is just fucking nonstop shit happening all the time.
Yeah. And like the comedy too, like you can be talking to people and still enjoying it. Like, you know,
yeah. Like we're doing right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we can't tear our eyes off this fucking movie. Oh man, I gotta rate it. Can I do the 2 scale?
Movie ass movie and a fucking.
All right.
A sentimentality scale.
Sentimentality? 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fucking 9. Movie ass movie? Oh, it's like a 6.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had to do movie, if I were going to sit down with a strictly critical
eye. Strictly critical, yeah.
Yeah, I think even 6 might be high because, I mean, it's really low budget. Oh,
it's really low budget. It's campy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the things that make this so beloved to horror people are the things that only horror people are going to appreciate.
Like 100%.
Critic isn't going to appreciate it. So I think that's why it's not going to get if I were like completely critical, it's going to be a below a 5, I think.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, because like the story just like it kind of just jumps around. You just know that there's something going on with this book.
Yeah.
You know, you even said before, like it kind of makes these jumps where, you know, 6 minutes into the movie, he's already burying a body. And like,
yeah,
you know, there's like, and we talked about how there's things you need to see the first movie to kind of pick up on. So like there's whole, you know, that's it. We don't see that because we've seen them both. We love them both. Like if I were just sitting down as a critic watching this movie and judging it only on this movie and nothing else. Yeah. Like, yeah, I would have to ding it and shit like that.
Yeah. I imagine a casual would get lost in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fair. That is fair. Hmm.
Yeah. It hurts.
It feels bad. Like Evil Dead 5. What?
But no, I mean like for real fucking, like I said, 8.5. Yeah. Yeah. All day.
Fucking. Yeah. Niner. It's just so, it's so intense and goofy at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's just fucking perfect. Like, it's not, the ratio is not as good.
Yeah. Like the direction, like the sound description was hand mewling.
Yeah. No, the comedy is too absurd, I think.
Like this scene in particular.
Yeah, where he's kicking his own ass. Do you mind?
I'm kicking my own ass.
And then there's like the cheesy shit, like when he puts the books on top of the bucket. One is A Farewell to Arms.
That's fucking funny.
That is funny. But if you're going for like a serious horror movie, yeah, it's not that good.
Yeah.
But this is not. So it gets away with it. It's fucking amazing.
I love this scene too, where the hand's dragging.
He's just dragging his ass
to the cleaver.
Are you ready to trivialize this movie?
Let's do it. Let's make some trivia.
All right.
Ooh, that's the sound of trivia arriving.
Hot and fresh.
Not to bother you with trivia.
I used to think they were kind of trivial.
Hoo-ah!
All right. Actually, a lot less trivia on IMDb than I thought there was going to be.
I thought there'd be a shit ton.
There was a decent amount, but it wasn't like overwhelming. Yeah. Like Terminator was, I couldn't even get through it.
Huh.
This was
all right,
much better. All right. Stephen King was such a huge fan of The Evil Dead from 1981 that he convinced producer Dino De Laurentiis to produce this this movie.
Sorry.
And finance it.
Just when he's cutting off his own hand and the blood is splattering all over his face.
Everywhere.
He's just screaming.
It's like you get that, which is fucking intense.
Yeah.
And then you get A Farewell to Arms. Yeah. It's right there. Yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but that scene is just too fucking awesome.
Yeah, so Stephen King loved the first Evil Dead. And he was having dinner with Dino De Laurentiis, and he convinced him to have his production company finance this movie.
All right.
During the scene where the severed head of Linda bites Ash's hand, Bruce Campbell says the single line, "Work shed." This line was later redubbed in post-production due to the quality of the audio, giving it a strange, slightly disproportionate sound to the audio. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
Huh.
But when he says work shed, it's just like, work shed. So 9 years later, while filming his cameo in Escape from LA, the first thing Kurt Russell says to Bruce Campbell on set was jokingly, "Work shed." Which, if you didn't think Kurt Russell could get any cooler,
yeah,
there it is.
Like, oh man, like top five dudes I would love to have a beer with.
Oh fuck yeah,
Kurt Russell might be like, yeah.
I want mustache tips from him because that thing is fucking great.
Like the Hateful Eight fucking mustache he has, like the big like Pringles
Tombstone guy. Baby.
Oh, I even forgot about Tombstone.
Oh, yeah, that is like a top five stash.
And he just seems like he'd be an awesome drinking buddy. Like he just would have awesome stories. Like
it'd be like, I feel like it would be having a beer with Stuntman Mike.
yeah.
Right, that was the character of Death Proof.
Yeah,
Stuntman Mike. Just the same vibe. Less murder.
Another dude who would never have to buy but I guarantee you he never has to buy a round for himself.
Never
buys a drink for me because somebody's willing.
Unless he wants that like crazy top shelf shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. I imagine he just chugs J&B scotch. It's like the thing all over again. All right. There we go. That was me hitting the heater. Rosebud, the supposed film production company, was not a real institution. Producer Dino De Laurentiis was forbidden to release an unrated movie through his own company, which I don't fucking understand. So Rosebud was created specially for the purpose of releasing Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, it could be like the investors or like whatever, you know, controlling board of the company.
I guess, but like,
doesn't want to put that out, you know?
Man, that's fucking lame.
Yeah. Well, it fucking bit him in the ass because it's one of the most classic horror movies of all time.
Yeah. Well, he's like, technically, they put it out, but it was just under.
Oh,
like under, it was like a satellite thing. Like they made up Rosebud.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Let's see here. Bruce Campbell completely improvised the scene where he fights his possessed hand in the kitchen. Sam Raimi praised his performance and used the first take for the film. Which, knowing Sam Raimi, he probably still made him do it 9 or 10 fucking times.
A whole shitload of times.
Because if you've ever read any of Bruce Campbell's books, you know that Sam Raimi takes pleasure in nothing more than giving Bruce Campbell hell. Just absolute hell. Like, he was physically injured a lot during the first movie.
No shit.
Like, because they didn't have stunt doubles, and they were doing wild shit.
Yeah.
Like, all right, just get on this car, get on this dolly, and we're going to just run through the fucking woods. Smash him in the head with fucking tree limbs and shit.
Oh, this is the scene I mentioned before.
Oh, where the lamp is laughing and shit.
He's like, it's like the bouncing fucking, up and down. And like,
it's like the brave little toaster.
Yeah, in unison with the lamp. The toaster from Ghostbusters 2.
The producers insisted upon using different colors of blood to avoid an X rating. This proved futile as the MPAA gave the film an X anyway. The film was ultimately released unrated. Does anything get an X rating anymore, or everything is just like unrated?
Every now and again, you'll get an NC-17 on something.
But what? Like, I can't even remember anything being an NC-17.
I'm trying to think of the last one that had an NC-17. That fucking Blue is the Warmest Color, I think, was the NC-17 movie. Blue is the Warmest Color. It was like a French like lesbian movie from like a few years back, maybe like 10 years ago.
Oh,
with Leah.
Yeah,
Leah Seydoux or whatever her name. She was in those last couple of Bond movies.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I know I've passed like the title card like a million times.
Yeah. There had to have been another.
Everything just gets released like R or unrated.
Yeah. I think Boogie Nights was an NC-17 when it first came out.
Are you sure?
Eyes Wide Shut was. I remember that.
Hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Old people talking about old things relevant only to old people. That is basically this show in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Old dudes talking about old movies.
All right. Since cast and crew had become hardened and experienced from making Evil Dead in 1981, the production of the sequel wasn't nearly as chaotic as the original, which was fraught with setbacks, including terrible living conditions, production issues, and budget problems. There was still plenty of weird phenomena. While the Evil Dead had endured an unexpectedly cold winter in the fucking mountains of Tennessee, Evil Dead 2 was shot during a brutal heat wave. Also, the rat scene on the stairs. The rat scene on the stairs over Bruce Campbell's shoulder while he's locked in the cellar was entirely unafraid of him and was nicknamed Señor Cojones by the crew.
Señor Cojones. That's amazing.
Rats are cool.
Yeah.
Look at pet rats. Like a pet rat is cool.
All right, pets.
Like a New York City street rat. Have you ever seen
rats in the wild? No. Not so fucking cool.
Feral rats.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
They're terrifying.
I've only been in New Orleans once, but like the first time I got there, it was me, Tom DeSico, and fucking Evil Geeks Nick. And we
party werewolf himself?
The Mr. Party werewolf. It was a full moon that night because like we get to New Orleans. It was like midnight when we got to our hotel.
You have to immediately start partying.
Oh, yeah. By 12:15, we had drinks in our hand. We were on Bourbon Street.
Attaboy.
So we're in a bar. Like, we're sitting there. And I take a drink and I see a rat run out of the back room of the bar and go behind the bar. I'm like, guys, we got to go. They're like, why? I go, I just saw a fucking rat, right? So they're like, all right, yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. We go out into the alley. I mean, not into the alley, back out into Bourbon Street. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much a fucking alley. Yeah,
easy to confuse. So we leave, go out to another bar. This was like an outdoor bar. Mm-hmm. Holy Christ. I just remember I was doing a lot of shots at that bar. Because people knew it was my bachelor party and they were like buying me fucking.
No.
Yeah. So
I don't let anybody know I'm out celebrating a goddamn thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we, as we're leaving that place, it was like an outdoor bar. I see another rat. And I'm like, oh, another fucking rat. And I see it in like running out of the place we were just at, run down the street as we're walking down Bourbon Street and duck into an alley and like, huh, the floor of that alley is moving. Oh, no. Oh, that's a lot of rats. Fucking, yeah. That's a plague level of rats.
Yeah, but it's also Louisiana.
There's like a rat orgy. Like, yeah. Oh, man. It was, yeah, it was intense. I also saw, like, the biggest rat I've ever seen was in Boston.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Amanda and I. We went to a comedy club in Boston. We were walking back to the car. I think we saw Ken Reed and Dana Gould that night.
Okay. Former guest of the show, Ken Reed.
Yeah. We were coming back and like for some fucking reason, I don't know why I would have done this, but like, hey, this looks like the alley that Batman's parents got murdered in. Let's take a quick shortcut down it. Like, cause it was between two busy bars. That's wild. That's why I did it. Like, I'm like, you know, there's not going to be anybody around. Like it's looks pretty safe.
No, this is just where people get stabbed and robbed.
No, there was a lot of people on both sides of the alley. So like it wasn't yeah. So we're walking through and like, there's a service, another alley, like cutting through. It's behind all the bars.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, hey, that cat is running in this. That's not a cat. That's not a cat. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen a rat in the wild.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. Lucky you, man.
I don't go anywhere. Like, and we don't really have rats around here. Like they do in big cities.
I saw one where my old apartment, Amanda and I were coming home one night and just like out of the fucking sewer grate, fucking just fucking rat.
Splinter. Yeah. Followed by four fucking turtles.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope, that's a fucking rat.
Speaking of, I'll get into that in the crap shoot.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
There are rats in Albany, trust me.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying there's not rats. I'm saying we don't have a problem with rats the way
we live on the Hudson River, dude.
We get more beavers than anything.
The fucking hockey team was named the River Rats.
But those are friendly rats.
Yeah, I miss those motherfuckers. I wish we still had the River Rats.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we have the River Rats. We just don't have the hockey team. Yeah.
Whatever, Chris. All right. Back to the IMDb trivia. The sounds of the evil traveling through the forest were a combination of Sam Raimi's voice and audio samples of Orson Welles, technically making this the last film he appeared in any capacity.
Rosebud Peas.
The fuck?
You've never heard that?
No.
It's from The Critic. Oh, God. There he's like, I forget how it came up, but it was like an aside joke, and it was like Orson Welles doing a commercial for Rosebud Peas. They're filled with great green penis.
It stinks.
Yeah, it stinks.
I miss that show.
It was a good show.
Fucking great. God damn it. All right. And this is going to be our last IMDb fact for the evening. A glove belonging to the Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy Krueger character can be seen hanging above the door of the tool shed when Ash carves his girlfriend's head with a chainsaw and when he's looking for the pages later in the cellar scenes. This is in response to the use of the Evil Dead on a television screen in Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984.
Oh, okay.
Does it say what samples George
Orwell? No, it does not. Why, were you going to try to find some?
No, it was a question in the chat.
Oh.
It was a good question, though.
Oh, we got the Frank Welker guys in there?
The ganglion assembly guys.
Is it ganglion or ganglion?
See, every time I read it, I read ganglion.
Yeah.
The L is capitalized. Guys, can we get a ruling on this?
Yeah.
I understand it's capitalized.
Or is it is it a play and you're not supposed to read it? You're just supposed to question it.
Hey, it's my segment. Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, let's
move on. It's both, you cop-out bitches. You
We, of course, will start off with director Sam Raimi, who we have actually talked about before.
Yeah.
I mean, he is known for making the Evil Dead movies. Spider-Man.
Yeah, Darkman.
Yeah.
Like,
most recently, of course, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
King Killer Chronicle? Like, the fantasy book that is not done? It is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Roth Fuss's book about a young man who grows up to become a notorious magician.
Yes. Because
that guy is notoriously a fucking magician, man. Let me tell you.
Notorious.
Oh yeah, Sam Raimi. We have talked about him before. I was going to mention some of his acting appearances. He has like 48 acting credits.
He's got to be just like a dude in the background, right?
A lot of times, yeah. He's in a lot of his own movies.
Yeah.
He was in the Jungle Book, the 2016 live action, when he was a giant squirrel.
Oh.
He shows up as a ghost in Drag Me to Hell.
That's his own movie, though.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 he shows up in. He's in the Shining TV series in the 90s. Shows up in the Flintstones in 1994. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. The Hudsucker Proxy in 1994. Shows up in Mantis.
Ew.
In 1994.
Gross.
Body Bags, 1993. Mm-hmm. Journey to the Center of the Earth, 93. He shows up again in his own movie, Army of Darkness. Shows up in Innocent Blood in 1992. Somebody should do a podcast.
We definitely should do an episode on that.
Yeah. Art, you should come by and hang out while we do that,
too. Yeah, Squee, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
We did
that. Because that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because we recorded a full-ass episode, and then the computer would not save it and fucked up. And then we had to just like,
we went to the Heritage, got drunk, came back and did the episode. I did a drunk episode.
Yeah. Oh, that was that night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. We got all in our feels and shit.
Yeah. He was in Maniac Cop 1 and 2. He's in Miller's Crossing in 1990. That's a pretty good fucking movie.
Maniac Cop 1 and 2 were Bruce Campbell movies.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's right? Correct.
I think that's probably why he was in them.
He is in Spies Like Us in 1985 with Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. He shows up in The Evil Dead, of course. And before that, I think it's all his own movies. All the it's so annoying that he lists all of his like movies he made as a kid.
Yeah.
Like in his IMDb. And all of the actors in that movie, like in his movies, list those movies.
Oh, sure. Because they're Sam Raimi projects.
Yeah, I mean, granted, if I were in a Sam Raimi home movie, I would list it also, probably.
Yeah, but those were movies that they were showing at the fucking ice cream shop that they worked in.
Yeah, yeah. Up next, Bruce Campbell, who we have also talked about before. Mm. Did we do a Bubba Hotep episode?
We did not, but we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Like, really fucking bad.
Fuck yeah, we do. Another, you know, person who's known for being Bruce, you know, he's known for being himself.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody else is known for being
Bruce Campbell. That's why I had to change that up. Nobody else is known for being Bruce Campbell. But yeah, no, he is known for being himself. Yeah, I mean, he's Ash in these movies. Upcoming Hysteria. He, you know, he shows up a lot in a lot of shit here and there. He shows up in like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man and Doctor Strange movies. Whoops, I did not mean to do that.
Well, the whole thing, like he was originally supposed to be like Mysterio, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was going to be Spider-Man 4. He was supposed to be Mysterio. Or no, 3. Before, that's when Sam... No, Raimi did 3. So yeah,
Raimi did 4. Raimi did all 3 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like to forget 3.
Well, I don't... that rumor was going around before 3 even came out, so... It might have even been after the first movie people were talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. He shows up as a voice on Archer. He shows up as Glenn Howerton's father on AP Bio. That was a really good show. Lodge 49. Was that long ago? Holy Christ.
I don't even know what that is, man.
It was a show on AMC. Wyatt Russell starred in it.
Okay.
It was like a kind of like an Elks Lodge type of thing, or like a not Elks, but a Mason's Lodge type
Masonic.
Of thing. Yeah. It was kind of like a stoner, like, you know, chill show.
I have no idea if any of those old Sam Raimi movies are available to watch. I would check them out.
Well, like the ones he did when he was a kid,
or his student films or all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All his pre-Evil Dead stuff.
He shows up as Ronald Reagan in two episodes of Fargo in 2015.
That's delightful.
Yeah. He was on Burn Notice for 111 episodes.
Yeah. That show was so fucking fun.
Aside from that, is that the, oh, I'm like, was he in The Replacements? No, that's
not TV series. That's not The Replacements you wanted it to be.
I was just watching that like yesterday or today. I don't remember.
He was in the Aqua Teen movie?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Movie film for theaters.
Yeah. I remember going to see that in the theaters.
I just watched the new season of that. It was actually pretty funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've watched a new episode of Aqua Teen in...
It's been a while since they've
closing in on 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. One of my favorite episodes was the one with the Brood Witch. They find this cave in the yard. And it's like Master Shake is the one that goes into it. And like... There's just a sandwich in the cave, and like the devil keeps trying to get him to eat the sandwich. He calls it the Brood Witch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I ain't marrying this bag of bones. Yep. I remember exactly what fucking episode you're talking about.
It's got the little devil horns on the sub. Like,
yep. I always loved the one with Danzig.
Terminator X, terminate the Jibba Jabba. That's a great Master Shake line. He was in The Lady Killers, one of the lesser Coen Brothers movies.
There's a lot of lesser Coen Brothers movies.
Speaking of those, Intolerable Cruelty, another one of those. Bubba Ho-Tep, that was 2002.
Wasn't he like roommates with them or something? Like, I know he's known them forever.
Who? One of the Coens?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I have no clue.
Or maybe it was Sam Raimi lived with them or something.
Yeah, directors probably all hang out. Yeah, who knows?
Just fucking each other.
He was in Jack of All Trades. That was a spinoff of like Hercules and Xena.
Sure was.
And he was, of course, on Hercules and Xena.
Mm-hmm.
Autolycus, is that his name?
Yeah.
He is in From Dusk Till Dawn.
I think it's Autolycus. Two.
Autolycus, okay. He was in an episode of The X-Files. He was in Time Cop.
The TV series. Yeah, I watched that movie not too terribly long ago.
Okay.
Does not hold up. Shockingly.
I don't think it held up when it was out. Like, yeah.
It wasn't holding its own weight then.
Yeah. He's the voice of Pitfall Harry in the late 90s reboot of that game. Pitfall. Yeah.
I loved him in McHale's Navy. I loved everybody in McHale's Navy.
Oh, yeah. It was Tom Arnold, right?
Dude, Tom Arnold. Bruce Campbell was in it. I'm trying to think of some of the other people. Tim Curry was the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Anyway, the movie was fun.
We mentioned, I think, Escape from LA earlier.
Yes.
He was the Surgeon General of Beverly Hills in that. Shows up in three episodes of Lois and Clark. He's in Congo in 1995. That's a movie I want to do. On this fucking show.
Yeah.
Congo.
You know what? I don't think I've seen it since it came out.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember seeing that when it came out. The Cine 10 at Crossgates Mall.
You are so old.
Oh, excuse me. Cine 12. Cine 10 was at Northway Mall.
Yeah. The Demolitionist.
That's not the Stallone
one. No, that's Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is. He's in The Quick and the Dead. Of course, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. 27 episodes of that show.
Not enough.
8.3 rating. How about that?
That's fair.
Yeah. The Hudsucker Proxy shows up I think for the, no, not for the second time, it will show up again. Spoiler. Waxwork 2. Darkman, Maniac Cop 2. We've done Bruce Campbell before.
We have. We have. It's worth doing again.
He shows up on Knott's Landing. I want to make sure he doesn't show up in that thing. Yeah, no.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, that would have been, like, memorable. Yeah, we're going to move on. Let me get rid of that. Up next, we have Sarah Berry. I don't know why I saved her, because recalling
she's in Chud 2.
Yeah, she's in Chud 2, Bud the Chud. It's the only other movie she's been in.
Why didn't we do that on the Feb-tuary?
Because I have little but some standards.
We'll eventually get to Chud. We're going to.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll get there.
There's only so many monster movies.
Dan Hicks. He played Jake in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 2020. I thought it was earlier than that. I'm like, why is he still in movies up to up until 2019?
Because he was still alive then.
Yeah. He was in Oz, the Great and Powerful. It's another Sam Raimi movie.
That was a bad movie.
Yeah, I saw that on an airplane.
Did you, were you wishing it would crash?
Yeah.
Like, man, I hope the door blows off of this airplane.
My Name is Bruce. That was a Bruce Campbell movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Wishmaster in 1997. Ultraman, The Ultimate Hero, 1993. And he's in Maniac Cop 1.
Hmm.
This was his first role, Evil Dead 2. Up next.
Jake was the hick, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was.
Next, Cassie Wesley DePava.
That's a name.
Paiva, whatever. She was in some soap operas. She's in four episodes of General Hospital. 381 Holy episodes. Shit. That's nothing.
That's a season.
Yeah, that's like a season. 381 episodes of Days of Our Lives.
That's so many, though.
821 episodes of One Life to Live.
What the fuck?
Actually, I'm sorry. 861 episodes of One Life to Live. Because it's, for some reason, split into two.
They must have, like, rebranded the show.
Yeah. She appears on Castle for an episode. Baywatch, she shows up on Melrose Place, Guiding Light, 86 episodes of that soap opera as well.
How do you go from, I am in my first movie, Evil Dead 2, now I'm going to be in 86 episodes of Guiding Light?
Yeah. Well, again, to be fair, that's like a week of work.
I hope those fucking shows pay well. I really do.
Sure they don't. If you're working daily, like I doubt it. Ted Raimi. I'm pretty sure we've talked about him before.
Maybe. Yeah, when we did Evil Dead, we probably talked about him.
Yeah.
Because he's buried under tons of makeup in all of these things.
Yeah, yeah. He is one of those actors you just see and like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah. He's that guy that looks like Sam Raimi, but doesn't direct movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. Some of the stuff he's been that guy in. He played himself on an episode of the Creepshow TV series.
By the way, he was, what, Henrietta in this? Is that her name?
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
We're already there. We're talking about this movie.
He was in Dead Wax in 2018. I vaguely remember watching that on Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
He's in 7 episodes of Ash versus Evil Dead. He also shows up in Oz the Great and Powerful. He's in Drag Me to Hell. It's another Sam Raimi movie.
He's in Legend of the Seeker, too.
Did I go over that? Oh, yeah. 2 episodes of Legend of the Seeker. It's in 6 episodes of Code Monkeys. For those of you who were alive when that original G4 was a thing, yeah. Let's see.
They really botched it by not having their theme song be Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton.
Yeah. 100%. He's in a 30 Days of Night, like, sequels miniseries, TV miniseries. 30 Days of Night, Dust to Dust.
2007. That's so sci-fi.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, there's no chance that that's on nothing but the Sci-Fi Channel.
I want to say Sci-Fi put out like a maybe like the third of those movies, and then must have done this miniseries.
Yeah.
He shows up in, I think, all of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
I think he's in everything Sam Raimi does.
Pretty much, yeah. Shows up in an episode of CSI New York. Tales from the Crapper. 2 episodes of Invader Zim. 42 episodes of Xena Warrior Princess. And 3 of Hercules.
Oh, we have... We have somebody remembering watching him dump the sweat out of the Henrietta leg in the behind the scenes of Evil Dead 2. I want to say they actually did that another time and saved it for a prank to play on somebody on set. Can you imagine getting like just a bucket of sweat dumped on you? Yeah, pretty much.
I forget fucking, I heard Bobcat Goldthwait telling the story. He was going somewhere with Rick Baker, I think.
Okay.
I think it was when they were doing King Kong Lives. So I think he was the actual guy in the fucking gorilla suit in that movie. I think this is who he was telling the story about, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But he was saying how, like, when he would put that suit on, he would have to, like, coat his fucking legs and, like, crotch up with baby powder to, like, absorb the fucking moisture so he can get all the shit on, you know?
Right.
And be able to, like, get it off afterwards. And, like, he had taken the suit off for, like, a commercial or something like that they were filming. That's what it was. They were filming a commercial. It was a fucking luggage commercial where he's in the gorilla suit and he's, like, beating up on the luggage. I think it was like an American Tourister.
Yeah.
And, like, he was flying with him when he did that. And, like, they're at the airport, and, like, they open the suitcase with the gorilla suit, and, like, they see, like, when, you know, when he takes the fucking, the things off, there's clumps of fucking baby powder that it's all, like made of, like, little rocks made out of, like, sweat.
Yeah.
So the fucking, like, they're opening up, they're searching his bag at the airport, like, what is this? And they're like, you know, it looks like cocaine. So they have to test it. Like, the guard like crushes it up and puts it on his tongue, and Bobcat Goldthwait is like, his balls right now. I'm like, fucking. And like, he's like, he just put it on his tongue before he could do anything. And like, they all started laughing, like dying.
I gotta know.
Yeah.
How does somebody go, like, I have to see if this is cocaine?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it in my mouth. It could, like, be anything.
Well, it's true. That is true. Yeah. He was probably, like, doing a gummy or whatever, fucking.
But yeah, that was the attempt. But Jesus Christ, it could have been anthrax.
Oh my God. Oh, anyway, yes. Ted Raimi was in Wishmaster. He's smoking in 57 episodes of Sequest 2032.
Jesus Christ.
I did not realize that had 57 episodes.
Yeah, 3 seasons.
Yeah, Stewart Saves His Family as a Saturday Night Live character movie based on Stewart Smalley. He's in Clear and Present Danger in 1994. This is a Jack Ryan movie with Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is in the Van Damme classic Hard Target 1993. Yeah. He's in Maniac Cop 3, Army of Darkness. Baywatch shows up again. He's in Candyman in 1992.
Yep. He is...
Billy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who that character was. Billy was one of the guests at the dinner scene in the restaurant.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Patriot Games, another Jack Ryan movie. He was in that one in 1992. he's in Postcards from the Edge in 1990 with Meryl Streep and Shirley MacLaine. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Darkman. He shows up in an episode of ALF, one episode of Alien Nation.
Show was fucking wild.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a Shocker in 1989, the Wes Craven movie.
Yeah, that was not good. No. It was not good. The saving grace of that was the soundtrack, if you were into, you know, metal.
And he, of course, is in the first two Evil. Well, he's in all of the Evil Dead movies, basically. except the like the remakes and the reboots.
Yeah, the ones his brother wasn't in charge of.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Richard Domier. He played Ed Gettley in this. He was the professor's daughter's significant other.
Yeah.
We never figured out who. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't.
He was in Girl Interrupted in 1999 with Angelina Jolie and fucking
Winona
Ryder. Yeah. That is not the casino everybody likes.
No.
That is a TV movie. He is in the HBO series Dream On in 1991. He's in Die Hard 2 in 1990. One episode of Days of Our Lives. One episode of The Young and the Restless. One episode of The Bold and the Beautiful. Some more soap operas.
That's so many.
One episode of Santa Barbara. Another soap opera. An episode of Saint Elsewhere. He is also in Teen Wolf in 1985. Yes. That is an awesome, awesome movie.
It's so funny.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I like pointing out that the dude's got his dong out in the
basketball
the basketball scene.
Lou Hancock. she played Henrietta in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The undead version of Henrietta, that is. She was in 8 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Shit, yeah.
One episode of the steamy drama Melrose Place.
I thought you were going to say the steamy drama Walker, Texas Ranger.
Well, like, I mean, yeah.
You're not wrong, but.
I keep losing the fucking cursor. She was in an episode of.
I'm right here.
She is in The Fisher King with Robin Williams. Robin Williams' balls make a prominent appearance in that movie. Jeff Bridges is in that movie also. Tom Waits in that movie too, I believe.
Fisher King. Was that the one with the, he was like a radio DJ?
He's like, yeah. Jeff Bridges is
Jeff
the
Bridges,
magic.
Yeah.
No. Good morning, Vietnam. Jeff Bridges is the radio DJ. Robin Williams is like a magic homeless person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the only magic homeless person movie too.
There's, yeah, several magic homeless person movies. She was in The Grifters in 1990 with John Cusack and Annette Bening and Angelica Houston.
Not my favorite Jim Lee creation. Grifter.
A few 90s image folks out there.
Wildcats.
Yeah. she was in an episode of Doogie Howser. Dynasty. She's in Amityville Horror, The Evil Escapes.
No, thank you.
I think it was a Fox original TV movie.
Mm.
An episode of New Heart. She's in Little Nikita in 1998. River Phoenix. An episode of Night Court. Highway to Heaven.
How is it that Joaquin Phoenix has the most normal name out of everybody in his family?
His hippie family, like, they get to choose their own name when they get to a certain age.
Woof.
So he chose Joaquin.
Yeah.
His real name is Leaf Phoenix.
And it's still not terrible.
Yeah, in the movie Space Camp, he's Leaf Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Falcon Crest. She's in an episode of that. Dallas. So primetime soap operas showing up as well. We're going to move on from that. Up next, Scott Spiegel. He played a fake shemp in this movie. There are a lot of fake shemps in this movie.
Yeah, it's such a confusing thing that they credit them for. And it's like anybody that's like an extra or a stand-in or just kind of working on the movie.
Yeah, is a fake shemp.
Is a fake shemp.
I thought the movie ended. Nope, I just scrolled down.
Which is a throwback to Three Stooges again.
Yeah,
because, shemp. Because they would, when shemp wasn't like well, they would have people stand in for him.
Yeah.
And they were referred to as fake champs.
He was in Nude Bowling Party. In
hell yeah.
If you've seen Your Average Bowler, I'm sure that's not a party you want to attend.
No.
Yeah.
Hey. Hold on.
I said Your Average
Bowler. Hey.
But fuck you.
I don't want to see you naked.
Again.
Yeah. I have seen one of your balls.
That is true.
That's enough for me.
And we'll just let you figure out how we got there.
It's a lot more casual than you might think, but it's whatever.
The NBA shorts incident.
saying, we used to have a thing called Pantless Tuesday when we lived together.
That was a good thing. That was a fun thing.
Coming over to hang out? Yeah. On Tuesday? Yeah.
All right. Just so you know.
Pants were not optional.
Oh, I don't want to. I'm like, why did I save this dude? He has three credits. Because they're three very weird and different credits.
Yeah, I saw them.
Mitch Cantor, who was in this movie as a fake shemp, he has three credits, okay? His first credit is Evil Dead 2. His second credit is Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD. His last credit, Succession on HBO.
The fuck?
Well, hats off to you, Mitch. That's quite a varied career you got there, my friend.
Way to go.
Yeah. And that will do it for the better known as.
That's like 75 whole dollars that he made in his acting career.
That's 3 days of extra work. Yeah, like, now, this is the part with the skeleton that I noticed. It's the fucking dude
shit,
that got,
yeah,
pulled in.
Huh.
On to the crapshoot.
I want art prints of the pages from this book so bad.
That'd be cool.
They're just typically so fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Any of the ones that look good anyway. I read Last Ronin this week.
Oh, what'd you think?
I loved that shit.
Yeah.
I have one major critique. And that is when it keeps jumping back and forth in the timeline, gets a little confusing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other than that, oh, mama.
Fucking loved that storyline, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. That was so good.
I can't wait to play that game that they're making out of that.
Yeah. Have you seen I don't remember who makes it. There's a statue and it's fucking huge and
it's him expensive and it,
oh,
as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's the
it's
three
hundreds
ghost
and
turtles.
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the ghost turtles behind him.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah.
The final fight a little lackluster, I would say. Especially for all the buildup that got you there. But yeah. Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, that was a really good series.
That was good.
I haven't read any of the stuff that's come after that. Like that's just a thing I just want to exist on its own.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just throwing up in the heater.
Yeah.
Scrappy, throw it. Turn away so it wouldn't interrupt.
Oh, I thought you like.
And here you are interrupting the fuck out of us.
One fucking cough.
I didn't realize it was a cough. I thought it was like an expression of pain. Like, but yeah, no, that's a fucking awesome, awesome story. I really do enjoy that. I was saying, I just want that to live on its own. I don't need more.
Yeah, like, no. I didn't read anything leading up to that. I didn't read anything after that. Like, Ninja Turtles comics, I'm so out of the loop. Like, I've never really read any.
Yeah.
But I know that this is kind of a standalone thing. So it looked badass. It stands alone. I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
Just, so glad I read it.
I have been still devouring movies myself.
Have you?
Yeah, I got two more Yorgos Lanthimos fucking movies under my belt. I watched The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which was really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I'm 4 for 4 on his movies. I'm liking them all.
I want to say we talked about you watching that last week, though.
Last week I had watched The Lobster and Poor Things I had watched on Christmas. Mm. Or right before Christmas, I'm sorry. I'd watched The Killing of a Sacred Deer. I think I just watched it this. I watched it Sunday morning, actually.
Oh, maybe you were talking about like you were going to watch
it. Yeah, I woke up and like we didn't have anything to do that day, and like it was early. I'm like, hey, you know what? I got time to fucking watch a movie. So like I threw that on. That was really good. That's like all of his movies are. They're all kind of like fable-y. Like they have like a kind of like not really like a moral, but like there's like a lesson to be learned, I guess. And this one
it's a fable.
Yeah.
It's a fable. Yeah.
This one was the most like a horror movie out of all of them. They're still very like drama-y and like,
okay.
It's not like a traditional horror movie.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah, like definitely kind of like a tinge of horror to it. And I really liked it.
Sweet.
And then this morning, no, last night I watched The Favorite, which is like a period piece. And it's all about like Emma Stone, like kind of works her way into like the court of like Queen Anne. And it's her and like Rachel Weisz, kind of like Rachel Weisz is like her favorite, like, you know, handmaiden.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like going back and forth and like backstabbing each other, trying to be like the favorite one. It sounds like it'd be like a really like, you know, not like kind of interesting movie, but it was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And then again, there is like a lesson to be learned at the end of it. So yeah, I have like one more of his movies I'm going to watch, I think. Well, and then like I'll watch new ones as they come out, but
yeah, I didn't watch shit. Like I started watching Silverado.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've,
so that's seen a, that was a Western like the '80s, right?
Yeah. 85, 86. Kevin Klein. I can never remember this fucking guy's name. He was the bad guy in Urban Cowboy. He was like the mentor character in it's a movie you hate. It's just eye candy.
The Cell?
Nope. The girls in the insane asylum.
Oh, Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hate that
movie. He was the mentor in Sucker Punch.
Okay.
That guy. He's in it. Danny Glover's in it.
All right.
Kevin Costner is in it.
All right.
Yeah. I remember seeing it like a long fucking time ago, but I started watching it again today. And then I got maybe about halfway through it. And then I had to take Oliver to his basketball game, which they fucking crushed.
Nice.
Fucking 22-1.
Nice.
Yeah.
Basketball?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Kids games are like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
22-1?
Yeah.
This was the score.
Was the score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One free throw was made. Yeah, no, they've, I think they're 6-1 at this point now. Nice. 7-1? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Goddamn. I go to basketball games every weekend now.
I went to the movies last night. I saw American Fiction. That was pretty good.
American Fiction.
What Jeffrey Wright. He's like this author, and like he writes like prestige books, like, you know, book ass books.
Yeah,
literature. You know, and
does
like
does he talk like this through the whole movie?
He does talk like this through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And like he. He goes to like this book convention. And he sees like this woman. It was like Issa Rae who played her. She writes like this book called Wheez Lives in the Ghetto. And like, yeah, like she becomes popular and like she's making all this money and it's just like pandering like stereotypes.
Yeah.
So like he decides like as like on a whim, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to write something like that, like as a joke.
Uh-huh.
And like gives it to his like agent who ends up like passing it off. And like people just love like.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Like it plays to like white liberals who feel guilty about like stuff. So like,
yeah,
they're just like, oh, it's so moving and like so like, and like he ends up becoming like successful. Like sells the screen rights before like the book is even published. He writes the book he writes is called My Pathology.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he pretends to be like an author who like. Who's like, you know, he's like, he pretends to be this guy who's like wanted by like, he's a fugitive, like wanted by the FBI. And like, it was pretty funny. It was like, you know, like a satire, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what you would call it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. what the fuck else did I do this week? I did stuff.
Yeah. Like most of my week was taken up by trying to get all our audio stuff squared away.
Yeah.
I'm excited for everybody to hear that. Playing more Fallout 3 and watching YouTube and sleeping.
Something I was going to mention. I listened to the fucking AI George Carlin special that came out this week.
I will not.
Yeah, I listened to it. It's not horrible, I'll say.
I just like as a George Carlin like fan, like huge fan, like do I want more George Carlin? Yes.
Yeah.
But also do I think this is like really, really disrespectful to his legacy.
Yeah.
Also, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not gonna do it. It's the same reason I don't buy food from Chick-fil-A, because I disagree with some stuff. You want to have it, you go ahead and have it. I'm not gonna make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
But I'm out.
It I mean, if you listening to it, you would think like, well, I will say like the voice, you know, is intentionally not like George Carlin. It's like the doing like a very like very loose George Carlin impression.
Yeah.
From maybe like the late 80s, like early 90s, around that era.
So are they doing it intentionally so you know that so it's really sued. Not?
Well, he says so like three or four times, I'm George Carlin. Like,
yeah.
So he's kind of trying to stay away from that. But like it wasn't horrible. You'd think it was a very like if the voice were dead on, you would just think it was kind of like a middling George Carlin set. Like,
yeah.
You know, the voice isn't an exact match, but the cadence and like the way he stresses things and like the mannerisms.
Yeah.
Fucking dead on.
Really?
There was one joke that I actually fucking laughed out loud at. He goes into a whole thing like talking about how like he's like, I know there's going to be a lot of like controversy with this, you know, AI, like, you know, that I'm an AI, like, you know, doing a dead comedian. And like, he starts like talking about how they're like, there could be beneficial things for AI. And like, you know, he's like going on, it's almost goes like a pitch for like AI, but then he goes, he brings it back. He goes, there's one comedian. He goes, if you're still skeptical, he's like, I can make the case for you with one comedian. There is one comedian who we can all agree is much better as an AI. Bill Cosby. Right?
You mean innocent Bill Cosby?
he goes, think about it. He goes, you get to enjoy all of the classic timeless comedy of Bill Cosby with none of the rapes. I actually did laugh out loud at that one.
Yeah. I have a hard time accepting things like that, because you are basically imitating, like, very on purpose, imitating somebody's life work. Like,
yeah.
Something that they dedicated their entire life to, their craft. Like, they built this thing, and you're just gonna feed a bunch of his specials into a computer and then have it spit out.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like, it's the lamest, cheapest way to do anything. And I just, like, if you want to be a comedian now, and you want to be like in the style of George Carlin or in, you know, like inspired by, that's fine.
That's but how, like, everybody, I mean, any artistic endeavor you start out doing, you start out imitating somebody.
Yeah.
Until you figure out your own thing.
Everybody who does something creative is an amalgamation of their influences.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
you'll never get away from it. You know, like, I find myself saying things that I hear on other podcasts, and then I go, I'll never say that again because that's fucking cheap and I'm not necessarily better than that, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's a shortcut that I don't need to take.
Yeah.
Cause I'll find myself doing the same thing every now and again, like, oh fuck, I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm better than that. It's just like, I can do
better than that.
Yeah, I don't need to do that. I can do something on my own. Like,
right.
You know.
And it's just, I feel like it's really, really disrespectful to the legacy. And I know why people are doing it, because they miss George Carlin. Like, it's a very human reason. The problem is that it's not George Carlin.
Yeah.
You know, this is why people have a problem with, like, joke thieves. Like, even if your joke is not necessarily exactly the same as somebody you took it from, you're still ripping them off. And this is like the ultimate ripoff, because you are not only, you know, maybe the material is different, but you're ripping off people's like memories of George Carlin.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're not it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm morally against it. It's the same with when they do those like hologram tribute concerts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. And I'm not here for it. Like, that guy, like, I think they wanted to, they did do it with Ronnie James Dio. And I'm like, don't fucking do that. Like, He's not here.
We're doing it with Kiss now. Like,
yeah, they're virtual avatars or whatever for Kiss. Like, and they're still alive. They're just fucking banking on their own image. Just fucking stupid. That's going to fail. Nobody gives a fuck about
you. You're kidding me. Kiss is making money off of Kiss merchandise?
Weird, right? But it's so fucking stupid because it's not going to go anywhere. Nobody's doing anything with virtual avatars of Kiss. Yeah,
it'll be like the only like way that could conceivably make money is
if they're doing like Fortnite concerts.
Well, yeah, if they did like a thing in Vegas where like you go to like a Kiss pavilion and like they have like a Kiss museum and you can see fucking virtual Kiss. Nobody's going to fucking go see that on tour. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No. Suck it. It's stupid. But that's the thing. Like, we have these things. He's been documented. Watch what he's done. Don't make shit up for him to have done. Mm-hmm. Because maybe he would have hated the material that was coming out of this AI shit. Like, and then you're going to present it as him. It just, it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had to watch it. It was too, like, I could not look away. As soon as I knew, I'm like, well, I need to go listen to this. Yeah.
And I don't, like I said, like, it's, I don't blame anybody for wanting to see it or seeing it. I just won't.
Yeah.
I have to take a stand somewhere. It's, it just feels icky. Right? Like, there's no other way for me to say it. Feels icky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I really did much this week. I really wasn't watching anything. If I wasn't working on the show this week, I was asleep or working.
Monarch wrapped up this week. That show was really fucking good.
Was it good start to finish?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a, it, in the middle, it kind of drags on, but they keep the drama moving, like, pretty good. The last episode really tied everything up good. Like, I'm hyped for a second season. There's a good little, like, mini Godzilla fight in it. Like,
right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Speaking of Godzilla, did you see that they dropped some of the Godzilla X Kong or whatever, however the fuck you're supposed to say that movie title, the toys?
I think so. Yeah. I saw there was like one, I've been like, I saw it, then I'm like, I don't want to read more about this. Like, I want to go in fresh.
Yeah.
They showed one of the other monsters. It was like a white, like, bear type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like weird Rampage vibes coming on. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Like, they give the Kong with like Kong with the whole cyber arm. Like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like,
Who's building that?
It's probably the people like he's, you know, that
the Mechagodzilla people.
Well, no, it's the like the scientists that live in that observatory at the end, like Rebecca.
Oh, Hall, yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I think season two of Monarch will take place on Skull Island.
Yeah.
From the way things wrapped up, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely 100% have to get your login information and illicitly watch that.
Yes. Killers of the Flower Moon came out this week to watch also.
Also Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I fucking need it. I need it. Because not only does that look amazing on its own and the story is fucking crazy, but it also has Jason Isbell in it. And I love Jason Isbell. One of my favorite musicians going right now. Like, an amazing songwriter.
All right.
I have no idea what character he plays in that.
I don't know who he is, so I could.
I just know that he's in it.
That might be it for stuff I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I think this is probably a pretty good spot to throw out some socials and get out of everybody's way.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, let's do that. All right.
Watch a little bit of this football game.
Yeah, maybe hit the pub.
Yeah, definitely hit the pub.
All right.
After the fiasco that was this afternoon.
Uh-huh. All right, guys. So our website is www.bigdumbmonsterspodcast.com or bigdumbmonsters.com. We are on Facebook, Big Dumb Monsters Pod. If you have suggestions for the show, things we should watch, if you just want to talk to us or critique the show, that's the word I was looking for. whatever. If you've got a thing that you think we should know, hit us up, bigdumbmonsters@gmail.com. We are on Slasher, the all horror social network. It's a great place to be. We are Big Dumb Monsters Podcast. And we are on Steam, Big Dumb Monsters. So maybe we can play some video games if you guys hit us up on there.
You can check us out on Instagram and Threads at big_dumb_monsters. You can check us out on YouTube at Big Dumb Monsters. Come by, watch some videos, like some videos.
Yeah.
Hit that subscribe button.
We're at 100. We need more. Yeah,
more. You should check out our merch store at TeePublic. Stop by the Big Dumb Monsters store. We are on Twitch at Big Dumb Monsters. Come by, subscribe there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all the places we are.
Yeah. If you go to a place and you search Big Dumb Monsters, you might find us.
Yeah. We're
just try
probably
that.
There. Go to the Big Dumb Monsters link tree.
Yeah. That's sure. The one.
Yeah.
I always post it in the chat.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably in the comments right now. Head on over. Click them links. Hit some likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll be back next Saturday night with a guest, returning guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will be his second time on the show.
Yes. They were on the show proper because they did the...
Oh, he did the
JC special. Episode, yeah. So yeah, that's it for us, folks.
All right. So we'll hit you with our weekly words of wisdom. Do not let ghoulies eat your ass.
Never mind. Oh, and never sleep in a deathbed.
What else?
I was going to throw out the plugs. We're at Saratoga Comic Con.
Oh, that.
May 4th and 5th. We are at Mid-Hudson Comic Con. August something or other. I'll be at Tampa Bay Comic Con.
We're going to be in Saratoga on Star Wars Day and Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
We're going to get fucking wrecked.
I will be at Tampa Bay Comic Con August 23rd through 25th. There was something else, too, we're doing I forgot to mention.
I don't know. There's that X-Files Con. Thing that's very up in the air.
Still haven't locked that down.
Yeah,
that's on that.
that's what you might call not our problem.
We might have more stuff coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye. I gotta piss so bad.